So we're using Rupa Goswami's seventh text of Tripitaka's Seed for our workshop. So let's have a look at it again this morning. It's on page 402. Nityanadi, you can chant it once and then we'll chant three times. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So today we want to explore the word carefully from a few angles of vision. Quite often we read, but we don't read. We don't remember what we've read. And very often, if not all the time, we certainly don't contemplate what we read. The contemplation of seeds that are given by our acharyas is an essential thing, because those seeds will sprout upon contemplation, appropriate contemplation. We can learn so much from them. So let's begin our discussion by taking a look at page 423. I'll read. If there's any questions or any comments, just interrupt me. The highest sacrifice is to chant the holy names of the Lord. And by taking shelter of the Lord's names, one will acquire unflinching devotion and realize knowledge of the absolute truth. Not good enough to chant. No. We have to take shelter of Nam. We're talking shelter, we're talking Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender. So this is very much in line with what we were discussing yesterday about becoming servant of Nam. Servant is obviously, in transcendental terms, surrendered to his master. So by taking shelter, not just the act of chanting, but by taking shelter of the Lord's names, one will acquire unflinching devotion and realize knowledge of the absolute truth. A realized devotee is very attentive in his devotional service, taking it in his life and soul. He keeps himself fit for devotional service by constantly worshipping and glorifying the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead. Such a beautiful understanding that are being offered here. The lotus feet of Guru, being transcendental, are luminous. So by meditating on those feet, keeping those feet within the heart will become illumined. And we'll see what is what. Yeah? Same with Krishna. So this idea that keeping ourselves fit for devotional service. So many people keep them fit for other things besides devotional service. But here we're looking at transcendental fitness. So that transcendental fitness, constantly worshipping, this is not a static or a just a mechanical thing. True, constant worshipping and glorifying of the lotus feet of the spiritual master will come when you have attachment. When you're attached to somebody, spontaneously you are very often thinking of them. Spontaneously, when you don't know what to do, you think of them and what will they do. It's just the way it goes, yeah? So we're not looking at something artificial or, you know, like static. We're looking at something that's spontaneous and is coming from attraction. Such Harinam Kirtan and Guru Puja are the only practical methods by which one can achieve pure devotional service. Quite often you hear people say today in the Buddhist circles, be practical, let's be practical. What they mean is, let's compromise. Yeah? Here we're looking at a wonderful alternative to compromise. We're looking at the essence of being practical. Keep the lotus feet of spiritual master and of Krishna in the forefront. When Hari Kirtan is expanded, it is called Krishna Sankirtan. One should not dry out by performing unauthorized austerities or sacrifices. Rather, one should engage with all enthusiasm in the great sacrifice of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which enables one to easily achieve the highest perfection of life. Now, when we read sentences like this, last one, because of our conditioning, we may not catch the essence of it. Why, by engaging with enthusiasm in Sri Krishna Sankirtan, can we easily achieve the highest perfection of human life? Why?
Because this is the real term.
Okay.
And because it is the natural occupation of the soul.
Very nice. Very nice. The thing that I'm thinking of is that someone has given this process. A person has given this process. He just happens to be Swayam Bhagavan Guha. Yeah? So the potency, Nam is potent, now no doubt. But you can have a wealth of gems behind a locked door. You don't have the key. What is the value of that wealth? No value. But if someone comes and gives you the key, it's the same wealth, but you have access to it. So in the same way, none is there in all ages. But in this age, there's a special potency in this Srinam Sankirtan, in this japa, because Mahaprabhu has said, do it. You're catching it. So we're not only looking at process. Process does not give mercy. Process does not reciprocate. The person who gives the process gives mercy. The person who gives the process reciprocates. Am I making sense to you? I had a bit too early on Sunday morning.
Yes.
Is that okay? So this is a very, you know, like if we fall into the habit of depending on the process we're going to run into trouble. If we consciously and carefully take shelter of the giver of the process, dependent on his mercy, then life is going to be a lot simpler and a lot easier. This is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, where he explains that actually it is not possible to chant constantly in this age without the mercy of Satchidananda. It is not possible. Any questions or comments on this for our community? When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means not only should one chant and hear the holy name of the Lord as Rama, Krishna, or systematically the 16 names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. The primary practice of Bhakti Yoga will cause the seed already sowed in the heart to sprout. And by a regular watering process, the Bhakti Yoga creeper will begin to grow. By systematic nurturing. So we're taking on the role of a gardener. We have this precious seed that has been planted in our hearts. How carefully we have to take care of it. We have to regularly water it. We're looking there at Shravanam Kirtanam. We have to systematically nourish it by having the right mood, the right mindset in our dealings with Nam and all his energies, whether they be in human form or any other form. By systematic nurturing, the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe, reach the effulgent sky, the Brahmajyoti, and go further and further and reach the spiritual sky, where there are innumerable spiritual planets called by Kuntalokas. Above all of them is Krishna Loka, or Golok Vrindavan, wherein the growing creeper enters and takes repose at the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. When one reaches the lotus feet of Lord Krishna at Golok Vrindavan, the watering process of hearing and reading, as also chanting of the holy name in the pure devotional stage, fructifies, and the fruits growing there in the form of love of God are tangibly tasted by the devotee, even though he is here in this material world. The ripe fruits of love of God are relished only by the devotees constantly engaged in the watering process as described above. But the working to the devotee is we have to work at it, yeah? But the working devotee must always be mindful so that the creeper, which is so grown, will not be cut off. Therefore, he should be mindful of the following consideration. Offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if it enters. Notice here Prabhupada is saying, pure devotee, not pure unalloyed. We have to be aware of that difference if we want protected bhajan. Pure devotee means someone who is fixed in their goal but has still got mature desires in the heart that they need to deal with. Pure unalloyed means the goal is fixed and the heart is pure. The heart is pure. So here we're talking about devotees in the stage where they have fixed their goal but they still have some reserves left to sort out. Yeah? So quite often because of our judgmental and separatist vision, we judge devotees. In areas where we don't have any responsibility, we don't have any influence. Very, very dangerous. If you have responsibility and influence, you should be aware of what's going on and you should correct when necessary. But if it's not your field, Even if you're very disturbed about it, don't open your mouth. Go to your favorite deity, report the matter to him, put it at his feet, and consider your work done. So important. Because there's a saying that Maya will try to catch you on the forex. Yeah, breaking the forex. If she's not successful there, she'll try Sadhuninda. If she's not successful there, more than likely she'll catch you with distraction. We should be aware that we are living in a world of distraction. This world is made to distract us from Krishna, from Radha Shyam. Just have a look around. Yeah? So if we get into this, taking note of every detail, having an opinion on every detail, where's the mind going to be? The mind's going to be absorbed in that. It's not going to be absorbed in Krishna. So if we have responsibility, we have influence, then it's our duty to Prabhupada and the Acharyas to do something. But if that's not the case, don't touch it. Any questions or comments on that?
Father Govinda Maharaj also this morning was a lot stressing on this point that one may achieve so many things but by offending Vaishnavas and Jivas, one loses everything. And he gave the example of Hiranyakashipu and different demons that they had everything materially and they had knowledge, but from the moment they started to offend Vaishnavas, also in the case of Hiranyakashipu, and then this was the cause of the crown that fell down.
This is why Mahaprabhu gave us the seed of our mindset, Janata Pinsanitra. And this is why Bhakti Siddhanta tells us that this is our Supranali. You don't get anywhere close without it. You're cutting your bridges, breaking your bridges as you're going. If that's not in place. Any other thoughts on that?
Even if you have influence, we should still not open our mind. If you have not responsibility.
If you have influence, then you will appropriately approach the person you have influence with who's doing some nonsense and try and help them. If they're not interested in being helped, obviously your thought that you had influence was an illusion. So you will withdraw.
What you say, Mother, is a lot of time, even if the devotees, depending on the consciousness, they check 2-3 places. And then whatever suits their thing, they will pick that.
Yeah.
They come to you for advice, you will give the advice.
Uh-huh.
But, then after some time, fine, they're checking at 2-3 places. And then whatever suits or whatever convinces them more.
Yeah.
So should we, if the devotees continue to ask such advice, should we continue to give to such devotees?
Brahman is liberal, but at the same time, Sadhaka doesn't waste time. So you have to individually balance that up. You know your limits, you know what you can manage. So you just see. And Brahma is not, who was it, Duryodhana? He knew, was it Dushyanta? He knew he was going to kill him, be part of killing him. And he...
Dronacharya.
And?
He taught
Dushyanta, He taught him knowing that he was going to kill him. Because he's a Brahmin. Brahmins are liberal. We have to see what is our actual reality and what we can best do. Is it okay? Any other thoughts? Yeah.
It's a small detail, but why is it taken from the 78 edition?
Because in the BBT edition that's printed generally now, you won't find this.
The whole section has been
removed? I can't remember whether it's a whole section or it was just a different presentation. I'll have to check.
Okay.
But quite often you find interesting things that Prabhupada says in the vintage edition. I always read both. I always read both because, you know, like, I appreciate the work done by the BBT men, but they've, you know, realized that the tapes weren't properly transcribed and they're trying to bring it up to the standard of the actual transcription, but, you know, of the actual sound, the video, the sound tape. But at the same time, quite often, you know, it's just human nature. Things will be left out that I find very valuable. So I tend to read both editions. Yeah. Okay, so offense by one at the feet of a pure devotee may be likened to the mad elephant who devastates a very good garden if it enters. One must be very careful to guard himself against such offenses at the feet of pure devotees, just as one protects a creeper by all around fencing. Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this fencing is staying in the association of pure devotees, we've already defined that, and by following the four regs and chanting an honest 16 rounds. That is the actual fence that will protect us. It so happens that by the watering process, some weeds are also growing. And unless such weeds are uprooted, the nurturing of the main creeper, or the creeper of bhakti yoga, may be hampered. Actually, these weeds are material enjoyment, merging of the self and the absolute with separate individuality, without separate individuality, and many other desires in the field of religion, economic development, sense enjoyment, and emancipation. There are many other weeds, like disobedience to the tenets of the revealed scriptures, unnecessary engagements, killing animals, hankering after material gain, prestige, and adoration. If sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process may only help to breed the weeds, not the creeper, stunning the healthy growth of the main creeper and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement, love of God. Now, the one thing that we have to be very aware of here, that for you to be aware of the weeds in your heart, there's a couple of things that are necessary. One, you have to be in open-hearted association with like-minded devotees. So if they see something that's a little off the wall that you haven't seen, they're going to say, hey, Prabhu, what about this? Yeah? The other thing is that we need to have quiet time in the day. We need to have quiet time in the day where it's just us and Bhagavatam, us and Nam, us and contemplating what's happening in our life. We need that. It may only be 15 minutes a day. We may be very busy preachers. We may be very busy with so many things. And there's bona fide stuff you're busy with. But you have to make time in the day because you see that the mind is often compared to a lake. If you're constantly throwing rocks in the lake, are you going to see clear water or muddy water? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to see what's at the bottom of the lake or not? You're not going to be able to see it. So there has to be some time in a day. Just before rest is a good time. Just upon rising is a good time. Or around Gayatri time is also a good time if you have Brahman and Diksha. Where you can just, even if just a few minutes, see how you're going. Have an honest look at how you're going. Yeah? Because if you get too much into passion, too much into doing things mechanically, you know, we get into habit. Habit is a killer. We fall into the illusion that we're very advanced because I get up at this time, I chant so many rounds, I do this, I do that, I'm very advanced. Is that really a sign of advancement? Sign of advancement is absorption in the mood and mission of Guru Granda. Real advancement is spontaneous remembrance of Guru and Gauranga, of Krishna. So quite often we fall into the illusion of my habits are an indication of my advancement, but not necessarily so. Yeah?
So these are secondary things, Madhuri, which help in devotion, just getting up and this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just, you know, I'm just pointing out subtleties. Because yesterday we said, and it was noted by a couple of you as something serious, yesterday we said that main difficulty with getting out of the place is not so much about problems with our senses, it's about misconception. So, you know, we want to get to the nitty-gritty of things, understand the essence of things. Even that statement that I've just made, you know, if we weren't embodied consciousness, if we were not under the misconception that we're the body, we wouldn't have any trouble with our senses. It's only because we have a misconception that I'm this body, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, that we have a trouble with our senses. This is why, you know, Prabhupada said it a million and one times, if not a trillion and one times, you are not this body. You're a servant of Krishna. So there's a key there. If we can consciously, this is why we chant Chaitanya Nadasamui, Chaitanya Nadas, Chaitanya Nadasamui, Tanadasamui Nadas. I'm a servant of Mahaprabhu's servants. If we are consciously, you know, even if we just meditate once in a day on that sloka, try and bring an awareness. Because we have to remember, Prabhupada said it all when he translated bhakti as devotional service, that is, devotion. It's practical. The more practical you can make the philosophy, the quicker you'll advance. Everything you read, you think, what does this mean for me in my daily life? How can I practically apply this? So even when we read in Rupa Goswami's seventh text, carefully chant, then what does carefully practically mean? I hope we're exploring this one. Any thoughts? You're very quiet.
Yeah. So when we are saying that for the Kartik, out of the five main things, that one is to get up early and to take care of your bath.
Right.
So these are out of five main two. And so then shouldn't be our effort will be something which will help us to, you know, to have these things, which is said that, you know, attachment to the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga and attachment to their missions. So how do we cultivate these tomorrow?
You see, the thing is that it's a matter of emphasis. It's not that this is good and this is bad. It's a matter of how you see the emphasis. So, you know, with the Madhyam, what we're really looking at is Madhyam culture here. The Kanista, and Kanista is not a bad, dirty word. It's not a bad word. We all start at that level. We all go to kindergarten first. But with the Kanista, very caught up on the externals. Externals are everything. So the emphasis for him is getting up early, taking the bath, doing all these things. That's good for him. But it's all external. But with the Madhyam, the way he gets up, the way he approaches bath, will be feeding, will be nourishing his attachment to Guru Gauranga. You know, if when you first get up, it's not done these days, I don't think. I'm not sure. But in the old days, the old ladies know. In the old days, you did not get out of bed. As soon as you woke up, first thing was pranam, you know, Guru Pranam. And usually if you're really fired up, you know, it'll be a lot more than that, favorite prayers, favorite verses like that. You get up before you put your feet on the ground, Jai Vrindadevi, Jai Vrindadevi. All these little things. You know, when you take your bath, you're aware. You know, for example, I can't remember if it's in Haribhagavad, I have to check the reference, but sannyasis, I think it's Haribhagavad, sannyasis are advised to take bath during Brahma Muhurta, because during Brahma Muhurta, all the water on the planet is Ganga water. So wherever you are, using a tap or a, you know, like a mug out of a wand, a well, it's Ganga water. So, you know, all these little things. So, I'm not saying, you know, drop this to do this. This kind of mentality is very prominent in us because for millenniums we have swung, we're on the mental platform. And we have swung between accepting, rejecting, karma, jnana, rejecting, accepting. What I'm saying is don't accept and reject, don't get involved in that pendulum. What I'm saying is cut through the middle of it. Find the equilibrium through bhakti. Is that making sense?
Yes, Mother. So I got it. They are both doing the same thing, but the consciousness is different. It's not that Mother is not doing it. He's also doing it.
The Majjhama and will do it better. Majjhama will do it better than the Kanista. But the consciousness is very different. It'll be a lot deeper and a lot broader, and a lot more connected. Is it okay?
When we say Mataji, we have to get up early and take care of the bath. What does tummy mean, Mataji?
Before that name.
At least before sunrise. Yeah. That's best. But again, that would depend on, you know, like your attachment, your taste. For some people it'll mean midnight, for some people it'll mean 2 o'clock. Some people on 3, 4 o'clock, you know, it just depends on whether you're more attached to the pillow or you're more attached to mom. I'm not noticing. You know, like we've got to be honest with where we are. So, you know, you see sometimes devotees, you know, they're, you know, we have to basically. We can't advance by jumping up and grabbing. We have to do it through, like, you know, just looking at where we're at and what we can manage and seeing where the next step is.
But from what is the borderline of
it? Yeah. Sometimes if you get the good fortune of the mercy of a very advanced Vaishnava, you can do it like that. Just by their potency. But that's not so common. Yeah?
Thank you.
Any question? Arunabhi, you're okay?
Can I ask?
Sure.
But you know, I've read, like, sometimes Prabhupada said whether you like it or not, you do it.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of discipline yourself. So you're like, isn't it forcing yourself?
Yeah.
But that gives you a routine.
You see, the thing is that we don't want to see it. This is why, you know, shaping of consciousness is so important. We don't want to see it as me forcing myself. We don't want to see it like that. We want to see it as Prabhupada would like me to do this. I want to please Prabhupada. I want to do things Prabhupada's way. Because when I think I have to get up, there's a part of you who says, damn it.
So true.
You know, you're not with a screaming kid with teething problems, you know, most of the night. You know, what are you gonna, you know?
Yes.
The hell with it. But this is why I'm saying, don't get caught up in the process, get caught up in attachment to the person who gave the process. So when you think the process is I should get up, that's what I should do, I must get up. It's not going to work. Long term, it's not going to work. But if you're thinking, you know, Prabhupada has so kindly given us this process, I really like to do it Prabhupada's way. Then, by the attachment to Prabhupada, and praying to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, look at this, I've had 2 hours sleep, the kids have been screaming all night, but I really want to go to Mangalwadi. Can you help me? You can't pray to a process. You can't pray to yourself. You're not Krishna. So, you know, this is what I'm saying. Are you catching it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can do, you know, like, in Kapila Day's teachings, he explains that bhakti, in and of itself, is pure. But how we practice it can be 81 different conglomerations of the modes. We have a choice of 81 different ways in the modes of engaging in devotional service. So that's why it's important that when we look at things, we sort of try and get some insight into a way that's going to be very most beneficial for our Krishna conscious development. Even the little things. Got to get up. But please help me get up. Which one's going to work? Long term. You have a look at the early days with Prabhupada. You know, and you talk to any of the devotees who were around Prabhupada in the very, very early days. They didn't know anything about philosophy. They are hooked on sex and drugs. What was driving force? Their attraction and attachment to Prabhupada. That's what did it. That's what opened up England. That's what opened up Russia. Was attachment to Prabhupada. So you want to be attached to a process, or you want to be attached to a person? Which is going to work? Yeah, you got it. We get caught up in our little world of me and my process, you know, me and my bhajan. What an illusion. What an illusion. You know, you leave Krishna and Guru out of the question, out of the equation, you've got problems. You've got no life, no work quick.
You're always saying, I have to do. Whole day, this is the meditation.
Yeah, but now can you see? Can you see how that, there's no nourishment in that. There's no enthusiasm or inspiration in that. You know? So this is why I'm bringing up these little things this month, because it's a really good month to practice breaking old paradigms and bringing in new ones, you know. It's a really fabulous month for making these subtle little changes. Nobody's seeing it. You do it all by yourself, and you're like, it's a private thing. But it's so powerful to work on this kind of stuff this month instead of, you know, counting numbers and, you know, like that. Yeah. But can you see how that creates a mindset? You know, I have to. So much tension, so much anxiety. So much resentment. All these negative emotions. Where is the energy in negative emotion?
Stress.
We're full-time stress. I'm ringing a bell with you.
Just until now, every Kartik I had the schedule, like from morning to evening, written down on the wall. You know, but this time is the first time I don't have that, you know? And it's such a relief, you know.
Yeah.
I always used to be so stressed out because the whole day was filled with activities and here and there and this and that. And
yeah, yeah. And this time you can work on developing your relationship with mom, your relationship, you know, in Rajdham. Yeah, can do that. Any other thoughts or questions?
My only thought is, Mataji, they should do a pre-Kartik, you know, event in ISKCON and bring you and all the devotees, Mataji. What does it mean to go and enter into Kartik, Mataji?
Yeah. It is very important, but we have to remember that we are a very young, socially and historically, we're a very young movement. So that kind of finesse, you know, that kind of subtlety of education will come probably sometime down the line. But if we can get hold of it now, it's a good idea. Okay.
Because Babaji, so many lists, these messages keep coming, long list of things. And Karthik now start doing this. There'll be 10 things at least written, but nowhere it's written, you know, that you establish a relationship at least with the Naam.
Yeah.
It's just you have to, like, to do's, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So it's more of a burden.
Yeah.
It comes as, you know, oh my God, if I miss something, I'll really.
And there'll be no transformation. And there'll be no ongoing taste. Once Karthik's finished. Tear up the sugar. Right? But we have to understand, and since it's in that Bhakti Vilas, we have to understand why Krishna gives us Ekadasi, why he gives us Dasam Ekadasi Pradasi Vrata. Why he gives us Kartik, why he gives us Chaturmas. Because by intelligently following these things, following in the footsteps of Acharyas, we will get a taste. And we'll want to live like that all the time. Yeah? Like yesterday in the quote we were reading from Prabhupada, Prabhupada was saying that for the advanced devotee, he spontaneously wants to serve. So for him, Kartik or no Kartik, every moment is Kartik. Every moment is Kartik. Maybe June, but it's Kartik for him because he's in that consciousness. Yeah? Making sense? Okay. If sufficient care is not taken, we're on number 6. If sufficient care is not taken, then the watering process may only help to breed the weeds, stunting the healthy growth of the main creeper, and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement, love of Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta tells us that if we chant without attempting to give up the 10 offenses, the result will be we'll become attached to sense gratification.
Repeat that?
Yeah. If we chant without trying to give up the offenses to Naam, then the result will be that we become attached to sense gratification. You see how things backfire when you don't get it right.
On the Mataji, I was seeing that they told you something on Karthik. And I bumped into a book called Bhakti Vaibhav. It is a quote by Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Yeah.
And they have made a question.
Okay.
And on the Ekadasi, they made a question, what should be our most valuable thing or something like this on Ekadasi? So he had written in another book, on Ekadasi, you check how much progress you've done from the last Ekadasi. That is the most precautious thing you will do. And if you're not making progress, then check your association.
Very nice. Did you hear that?
No.
Very wonderful. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us, when he was asked, what is the best thing to do on Ekadasi, he said, check how much advancement you've made from the last Ekadasi. And if you haven't made any advancement, check your association. That's powerful. That's very powerful. The devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the very beginning. It's a lot easier to pull out small weeds than when they're really rooted in the ground. Yeah. You can't even tell the difference between the creeper and the weed. Only then will the healthy growth of the main creeper not be stunted. And by so doing, the devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of God and thus live practically with Lord Krishna, even in this life, and be able to see the Lord in every step. The highest perfection of life is to enjoy life constantly in the association of the Lord. One who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. I want to do some chanting now. I think we've heard enough to get us started. We'll go back to this. I won't lose the page. We'll finish reading what we've been discussing, what we have here. But for the meditation, I want to have a look at a different angle on being careful. I'm going to have a look at 461. These are really basic things, but important. Some foolish people do not understand that the formula consisting of 16 names and 32 syllables is the Maha Mantra. Taking it to be another ordinary mantra that should be uttered silently or mentally, they artificially claim that it should not be chanted aloud or sung. Those who attain love for Krishna engage in loud chanting of these names in the company of other devotees. Through such chanting of the Maha Mantra, everyone is initiated into the holy name. Anyone who chants the name aloud will simultaneously hear and remember the name. And because Krishna and his name are not different from each other, a tendency to serve the Lord will awaken in anyone who chants aloud his names in japa. Very, very powerful. But by loud chanting of the holy name, both in kirtan and in japa, that will mean simultaneously hearing and remember name, and it will mean that there will be more likely a tendency to serve spontaneously name and Krishna. That's powerful. The other thing that's important about loud chanting, it horrifies me, quite frankly, to hear other devotees chant. Sometimes I cannot even discern the mantra. Sometimes the whole mantra is not there. It's quite horrific. So when you are in the habit of loud, slow, clear chanting, you're more likely to pick that up. Even if it's just one round a day, slow, loud, clear. You get some really amazing concoctions. You know, and they're chanting, you know, thinking they're chanting Hare Krishna. You have to be, you know, like, we have to be aware that the process is so simple, but you have to practice it seriously. It's so simple. So if it's simple, if you practice it seriously, wow, you can fly. Okay. This next one is really amazing. Chanting involves the this is actually from Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's Prabhupada paraphrasing. Chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. Yes. Interesting. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes, one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting. It's very common. It is actually very common. Instead of chanting with a proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue. Yeah? Chanting, chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Yeah? Okay, so for the next 10 minutes, we're going to try this. We're going to try and chant loud and clear. I want to do it same as we did the second exercise yesterday, but this today we're going to take it a couplet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that. make an effort, don't be concerned what people think. Use your mouth to chant. Yeah? Srimad Goswami also says in Hari Bhakti Vilas that if you are in the habit of using your mouth and tongue to chant, you will never face sleepiness in chanting. Just by that mouth and tongue being active, the whole head is active. You can't doze off. Yeah?
Maybe what does it mean by using mouth?
Good question.
Huh? What is the meaning of using mouth?
We just read it.
Oh, but when we speak, how do we use lips and tongues?
You have, most people, they don't speak clearly. Because they're very closed mouth. They don't really use their mouth so much. But you see some of the devotees are really into nam. When they chant, their whole face is chanting.
You chant Mataji, we will see Mataji.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Ram.
Hare Ram. Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Ram Ram.
Hare Hare.
Lada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Rama.
So what we did just then is we turned up the volume on the mind when you're trying to chant. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Like it's just other people are, you know, are chanting. But what's happening when you chant by yourself is all this other stuff that's going on all over the place. We just turned up the volume on it. And you realize how exhausting it is. And, my God. So when you even it takes longer, at least a couple of rounds a day, make a concerted effort to hear and to chant loudly and clearly. And, you know, just tell the mind, sit in the corner for a while. You know, don't engage it. The mind only has potency because we engage it. If we ignore it, like with this child in the classroom that's a naughty kid, you ignore the kid, he's not getting what he wants, so he'll behave himself. Or he'll storm out of the room. The same way with mind. You know, it's only as long as we are giving it credence, if it has credence. Yeah. But I wanted you to experience how difficult and how tiring it is.
It reminds me of these overcrowded temple rooms in the morning. You know.
But we're talking about an overcrowded heart. You know, a mind that is just not cooperating. It's the same thing. You've got microcosm and macrocosm. It's the same thing. Yeah?
Okay. See, mind is not there, Maharaj, when we chant with a group, but it becomes difficult to concentrate on our own chanting.
Yeah.
But yes.
But what I'm saying is,
if you
find yourself in that circumstance for some reason, you can use it to strengthen your hearing of the chanting. You can use it like that. We've got to develop some muscle. Problem is that we have no muscle. Life is so tough because we have no muscle. So when you first start building muscle, you're exhausted, aching, not really what you want to do. But the thing is that, you know, that'll pass. It'll become natural to be focused, clear when you're chanting, awake when you're chanting. Yeah? Okay. Any questions for the points on that?
What to do if the mind comes back? You tell them, sit quiet, but it's not saying, this service and this, that, and this is so important, and don't forget it.
Yeah. You see, this is what Maya is so clever. She is expert. She's, you know, really expert. Because Rupa Goswami tells us, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So she convinces us, well, Krishna is service and I'm different. So you can think of your service, right, Jack? Yeah? But actually, the full focus on Nam, which means please engage in your service, if we don't think of our service. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always carried a pen and paper in his kuta pocket, so that if anything came up that was obvious an inspiration in the course of his japa, he would write it down, forget about it. He wouldn't let it distract him and become a whole, you know, elaboration and all the details in place and all that, you know. So if the important thing is that when we're in that circumstance, you know, it's so amazing, but all of our difficulties in attempting to become Krishna conscious are because of lack of sambandha. Practical lack of sambandha. We are such impersonalists, we are so infected with impersonalism that we can't think in terms of, okay, the mind has come back, what do I do about it? We put ourselves in this little, like, tight cage. But all we have to do is call out to Nam. All we have to do is call out to Guru. Gurudev, this mind has come back! Nam, this mind has come back. It's a monster mind. It's going to devour me. I don't want to know about this mind. Please drag this mind out of the picture. At least until I finish my rounds. Yeah? So much of our problem is because, you know, we are just not in the habit of active dependence. Our whole conditioning is, I can do it. Whole conditioning is, I can do it. But what we need to develop is an active dependence. You look at the Brijvasis, the Nityasiddha Brijvasis. Anytime anything happens, Krishna! Yes. Yeah? Not, oh, let me figure it out. Where's my calculator? Where's the internet? Must be a story on this one. You know, that's how we think. But let's do a Brijvasi start. Just call out to Krishna. Call out to Gurudev. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his bhajans also tell us that. Call out to Gurudev. Vaishnav Thakur. I can't chant Nam alone. Only if we have mercy on Guru Varanga we can chant. So what does that mean practically speaking when we're having trouble? Call out. And the mind's still giving you trouble, call out louder. Emphasis that, put my heart into it. Quite often, you'll find the Gungaranga don't hear the first time because there's no heart in it. You're not really calling out. The heart's not in it. So they'll let you call out again. Yeah? The more we become consciously dependent in everything, not just our chanting and everything, you know, life is a breeze. You see the wave. You know, if you look at those video footage of following Prabhupada, video footage, you know, you can, it's so phenomenal that sometimes you can just see, it's palpable, you can see the internal energy working. It's incredible. You know, 2 years in the States in this huge Rath Yatra, and thousands of people following Jagannath, and thousands of plates of prasadam. You know, 2 years in the country, one man, an old man. give me a break. And it just the whole energy of it, even on footage, it catches it, what it was like to actually be there. Must have been phenomenal. You know? So how does that come? You look at Prabhupada's poem, I'm just a beggar. Insignificant beggar. You brought me to this place, I don't know how I'm going to make sense of it. I don't know how I'm going to get these people to chant Hare Krishna. I'm just your puppet. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. This is the potency, because the whole thing, for as long as we had this concept of being a separate unit, we are actually useless to the mission. As long as we have any idea of being a separate unit, we can't line up, we can't connect. We are part and parcel of Krishna. Yeah? Make sense?
Yeah. One more question about the speed. You said that at least one round we do very slowly and clearly.
Yeah.
But in the normal chant,
it doesn't have to be very slowly. The main thing I'm focusing on is that you do it at a pace where you can clearly hear and chant with focus.
My question is that in the normal regular chanting, I noticed that when I'm more spaced out, then the time is longer
for the round.
Usually I try to become more focused, and then it's quicker. And I remember in the Dhammapada Maharaj's book, there is one story of discussion with Srila Prabhupada about the speed Haridas Thakur was chanting. They were somehow asking how long it took to chant 300,000 names, and Prabhupada said, you can calculate now. And then he told them, multiply this and this, and he said around 5 minutes for each round, and it came to 18 hours or something. 16,
okay.
18. So he mentions 5, and then the devotees seemed to be surprised. And then he showed them, he said, he chanted fast, and he showed them.
Yeah. But see, one thing we have to be very aware of is that the subtlety of consciousness will allow us to move quick.
Mm.
You know, if the subtlety of consciousness, you can chant a fabulous round in 5 minutes. And if consciousness is clean, it's subtle. Subtle things can move quick, yeah? But if the mind is not like that, and you try and chant around in 5 minutes, it's going to be a terrible round. The other thing we have to remember is that Nam is Krishna, and sometimes Krishna likes to dance fast, and sometimes Krishna likes to dance slow on the tongue. You become aware of this, the more you become sold out to Nam, you become aware that Nam is running the show. You get up and you think, I want to use this time to chant this many rounds, it doesn't happen, because he is wanting to do things differently. He's wanting to taste things differently. So, you know, like, we don't want to be so much concerned with speed and all that sort of stuff. We want to be concerned with connecting with Nam and seeing what his pattern is. You know, not that we set the rules. He sets the rules. He sets the rules. So then, you know, some days he wants to chant, he wants to dance slow. Sometimes he wants to chant fast. Dancing on the thumb. Any other thoughts? Be quiet out there, you guys.
It's powerful.
No, it's powerful. Yeah.
Like the prayer you mentioned, Prabhupada wrote, you know?
You know,
just the puppet, make me dance, make me
dance.
Theoretically, it seems to be easy to understand, but when you try to practice it, that individuality seems to take over.
Yeah.
How do you, is there
it's not individuality that's taking over.
It's the mind.
It's the mind and the modes.
Is it?
You know, like the thing is that all of this stuff we can't practice artificially. You know, we have to look at what will bring us to a point where we can do it spontaneously, naturally. Because to Prabhupada was able to call out of that, like that, and have a heart to call out like that, because of his intense attachment for Nam and for Gurudev. So this is a symptom of love. It's a symptom of love. You know, like when, you know, you really love somebody, you want to be at their disposal. You want to do things on their terms. You can't do that artificially. You try and you make an ass of yourself. That's very high stuff. But we can be praying to actually develop the adhikar for that. We don't just say, you know, that's really high. We're attracted to something. Oh, but that's very high. Full stop. You get nowhere like that. If you're attracted to something that's very high, then don't artificially try and grab it. Sending crosses is not our process. Rather, first step, go into prayer. Prayer, we're talking about talking to Gurudev, talking to Nam, talking to Radha Krishna. I have this desire. It's really strong right now. I don't know what the next step is. Seems like a long way away from me, but I don't know what the next step is. I want to do it right in a way that the heart, the lotus of the heart, will naturally blossom. I don't want to artificially force it open. Give me a few clues. Yeah? So it's not that that's very advanced, I'm going to put it in the box. Not like that. Okay, very advanced. What's the next step for me? Yeah? Is that okay? Yeah.
And sometimes I thought, Mataji, that we start calling it out, I'm very fallen. But actually, internally, there's no feeling of that. So,
right. So
it's not genuinely I'm saying, like, right. But because I have to say this, because it's like, and this tendency, like, when I hear, when Srila Prabhupada mentioned it, okay, it's genuine feeling of helplessness. So, and taking a shelter, genuine shelter.
Yeah.
So whenever we have this genuine feeling for, actually prayerful mood for the Sri Guru and Gauranga,
right,
then the immediately reciprocation
fact
comes.
That's a fact.
So this...
But then you have to look at, okay, you had that wonderful experience where it's occasionally, maybe rarely, true, it's real, and you get immediate reciprocation. So how to increase that? You know, this is one of the main reasons the acharyas gave their bhajans. Again, it's about relationship. Alone, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it. If I line up with somebody who's prepared to help me, who's got the appropriate mood, he's in that bath. Yeah? Bhajans are so important. Because we always, you know, when we read philosophy, Siddhanta and all that, that's okay. But, you know, the mind is the monster. And the mind doesn't just think. The mind also feels. And very often, our thinking is very much influenced by our feeling. And from that comes the willing. So can you see how that's very screwed up? If the feelings are not being shaped by our cherries. Left to our own devices, you know, what do we know about transcendental emotion? We know nothing. We have absolutely no idea. But if we take shelter of the acharyas, we pray, particularly the Bhaktivinoda Thakura, has his strong influence and gift to us. Particularly the Bhaktivinoda Thakura, if we, you know, pray to him. We don't just sing the bhajan or meditate on the bhajan, but we say, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, this is such a wonderful bhajan, but I'm not feeling it. Can you be kind to me? Can you bless me? Just so I can taste a drop of what it's really about. You know? Everything we do it rote. We do it mechanical. Time to sing a bhajan. Sing a bhajan. Time to chant around. Chant around. Yeah, but what about the sambandha? Mahaprabhu did not come to teach information or process. Mahaprabhu preoccupation was the preoccupation of Bhagavatam and the whole Veda. What is that? Sambandha Vinaya Purata. That's all it's about. It's only about those things. So in everything you do, have a good look. Is the way I'm, what I'm doing and the way I'm doing that, is that nourishing my relationship with Guru Naranga? Is that making clearer to me the goal? Is that making clearer to me the process? You know? Otherwise, you can read the book, read the book, read the book. Information, information, information. What's the value of it? What's the value of it? It's not touching the heart. It's not transforming the heart. Yeah.
One time I asked a sadhu, like, how much should I read a day? How many hours? And he was saying, you should read until it touches you.
Very well. Yeah, yeah.
This came back to my mind when you mentioned that.
Okay. Maybe reading a long time. This is the beauty of reading and chanting bhajans in association with devotees who are like-minded. It's so powerful. It's not powerful because of the individuals in the group. It's powerful because Krishna sees. He is attracted. These devotees are sincerely trying to chant my glories. He blesses that group with realization. And because there's realization, there's blissfulness. And that gives us encouragement to go on. Yeah? So if you can find like-minded association, nothing like it. And, you know, like, I'm actually feeling it, you know, at Prabhupada's Mangalati. I know a lot of people are really turned off by the crowds, but for me, it just blisses me out. It is so phenomenal. Just see all these Prabhupada movers, all shapes and sizes, you know, it is so mind-blowing. Some of those people will get there at 3 o'clock in the morning to get their place in Mangalati. They just sit down and chant. The whole area, you know, the whole, except for the back, that little narrow lane, the whole two sides in the front, completely packed. The whole area between the display area, that whole walkway, which is a wide walkway, completely packed. And those that can't handle it go upstairs. It is really amazing. You know, you get pushed around and all that, so what? Main thing is that you are chanting Hari Nam with a Namacharya of this age in the association of those who love it. It is ecstatic. That's ecstatic.
You know, playing Prabhupada, taste of the Nijapati in the display area.
Yeah.
And then I crossed, Prabhupada said, sit straight. And I got, you know, what happened? You know, the japa, he just said, sit straight, you know.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was like, he's there, yeah. Mataji.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, that's another thing that's really far up. There's some really far up brahmacharis. They come to that area opposite the samadhi about 2 a.m. and they just they just sit there like yogis and turn Prabhupada japa on, and they're oblivious to everything. It is really something. So the first thing you come, when you come into that area, you can hear it right from when you're coming along the walkway of the temple. You hear Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's ecstatic. You know, so it gets back to what we were saying at the beginning, that it's not so much about the externals of the activity, it's about the consciousness. So some people get caught up in, you know, they get really angry and upset and, you know, someone pushed me in. Like that, you know, but, you know, like, it's just, you can see it from different angles of vision. Okay. Let's read on. Any, there's no other points, yeah? Erica? Yeah?
So chanting, is it better alone or with a crowd? Japa.
You know, like it would, you know, like it's very good to have some time, and Hari Nam Chintami recommends it. We have some time in the day where we seclude ourselves and we just concentrate on our relationship with Nam, chant with Nam. So that is important. But if we can be in the association of like-minded devotees without distraction, it's one of the reasons I can't chant in the temple after Mangalati, is because, you know, you've got this group talking, I don't know what about, you've got this group selling books, you've got, you know, this group worried about the paraphernalia where the ghee lamp went, you know, like, I can't handle it. You know, so like... You know, if you can find an association, if you're in brahmachari body, there's an amazing association right up near Prabhupada. It is phenomenal. You know, there are devotees, some of the brahmacharis here. You know, they just come and they just sit and they just chant. And they're focused, they're really into that journey. So if you can find such association, you know, like bhakti is a shakti, you catch it, you don't learn it. You know, it's caught, not taught. So if you can find an association of those who are actually got a taste for Nam, and you can chat with them, it's one of the things that Bhagavad Gita tells us, and also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also tells us, that we can learn if we take association of those who have the devotional qualities and strengths that we want and don't have at the moment. It's very powerful. And also it's very individual, you know, how you do things, you know, to see. And even in the course of your own devotional life, you may find you go through a phase where you're very much into just being, you know, part of a group, chanting in a group, and then you may go through a period where you feel like you need to be more reflective, you need to be more in your own space. No, like that. Anything else? Yeah.
I'll just share, Mataji.
Yeah.
Today morning, the kirtan was led by Bhakti Janardhan Swami Maharaj.
Okay.
And he's very powerful. I mean, whenever I also heard, it's like a touch in the heart.
Yeah.
And I saw Radhe Govind with me.
Okay.
And as he entered, okay, we prayed the Dandavat to the Harinam and the devotees. And then, and as he reached the Krishna Balaram altar outside the courtyard, and uh-huh. Maharaj singing, and he started dancing. Of his own.
Yeah.
And then he did peripheral upper senses. And then he jumped or clinged onto the altar of Gaudatai.
Okay.
And he started following Maharaj. As Maharaj singing, and he started loudly calling out the names in front of Gaudatai, Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur.
Yeah.
And then the pujari, he saw the voice of a boy, I mean the child, when it's like different, right? So you can. And he saw and he felt happy, and he from behind he threw a garland on him. And Radhe Govind was very happy.
that I got a garland. Uh-huh. And he said, first time actually, I felt this first time because of Kartik also, uh-huh. the impact of the month.
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, I want to, he actually 5 minutes, he just clinged on to the altar because otherwise he just wanted to run around, go somewhere else. And he uh-huh. chanted there. And then he said, okay, next now, Krishna Balaram. And he stood there five minutes again. And then he asked me, Papa, what is this Kartik month in front of Krishna Balaram? And I explained him, I said, this is Krishna's month. So if you do and chant, he's very happy. And then he got more enthusiasm. So I felt that how much impact the devotees when they are chanting in the room. And the power of their power, it just enters the everyone who is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when I see the Radha, I mean, it's like a naughty, you know, but then the potency is so high yeah. of the name.
Right.
It's like I really felt that today morning.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's very wonderful. I experienced the same thing a couple of days ago. It was ecstatic. It was on Ekadasi. And there's been a group of about 70 devotees from China here. And led by Giridhari Maharaj, who's really into Nam. And they just took over the 24-hour kirtan in front of the deities. And, you know, the kirtan went on for hours, and it was phenomenal. It was so simple, you know, just one mridanga, sweet kartals, but it was really something. Because a crowd was coming in, a crowd that usually yells and screams and, you know, makes life tough, you know. As soon as they came into this field, it was like a magnetic field. As soon as they came into this field, I just joined in the kirtan. The whole temple room was just absorbed in the kirtan. And it didn't go on for 10 minutes. You were there, right? It was phenomenal. It was really Nam. You could feel it was palpable. Nam was really present. And the people that yell and scream and take photos and run, you know, do all this stuff, it just, they weren't doing it. They were chanting Hare Krishna.
And the quality is that it gives a craving to have
yes.
more next.
Yes.
When is next?
Yes. That's why good association is so important. So important to find it. And if you're not finding it, pray for it. If you're not finding it, pray for it. Okay. Let's read through. We're on page 425. In the beginning, when one is initiated into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are naturally many offenses. Therefore, the devotee should very carefully try to avoid these offenses and chant purely. This does not mean that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is sometimes pure and sometimes impure. Rather, the chanter is impure due to material contamination. He has to purify himself so that the holy names will be perfectly effective. Chanting the holy name of the Lord inoffensively will help one get immediate shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Powerful statement. Chanting the holy name of the Lord inoffensively will help one get immediate shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. This means that by chanting purely, one will immediately be situated on the transcendental platform. We should note, however, that according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, one should not wait to purify himself before chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Whatever our condition may be, we should begin chanting immediately. By the power of the Hare Krishna mantra, you will gradually be relieved from all material contamination and will get shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, the ultimate goal of life. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. When you will chant, you'll hear also. Then your attention will be there. and you are chanting and you're thinking something else, oh, that is also another offense. You should be careful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. If you cannot hear, then you will chant loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you must hear. That is wanted. Otherwise you will be inattentive. That is offense. So this is a very important point Prabhupada is making here. The inattentiveness is coming through not hearing. So instead of saying, I've got to get over being inattentive, I've got to be over being inattentive, you know, negative, 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 negative. Just say, I've got to hear. I really want to hear. Nam, help me hear. I want to hear you. Gurudev, help me hear. I want to hear you. Yeah, make it a positive. As you chant, try to hear each word very carefully and always complete your 16 rounds. Regular and attentive chanting, along with following the four regular principles, will keep one pure. Simply by following these principles and chanting Hare Krishna, one can make his life successful and perfect. Such a simple formula. Yeah? Okay, any last questions or comments?
Mother, you spoke about the 81 different modes.
Yeah.
In the Prabhupada Prabhupada explains the 9 limbs of bhakti, in the 3 modes of nature.
Yeah.
There is 27.
Yeah.
That into 3 is what? The mix of
tamogunas? Yeah, look at Prabhupada's book, but he explains it quite clearly. It's not only the shravanam, it's kirtanam, everything.
9?
Yeah.
Into 3 are the modes.
You have a look at it. Look at the book.
Okay.
But he's talking about the 9 processes and how they're influenced by the modes, and we come up with 81 ways that we can mispractice. Okay. It's a powerful book. Any other thoughts or questions?
Just about the loud chanting.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just feel disturbed if devotees around me chant loudly. I mean, kirtan is something else, but chapa, I really prefer that, like, really, like,
I said, it's a personal thing. But just make sure that your personal muscles are being exercised. Don't fall into the habit of you chanting quietly or silently. You should be hearing your own chanting. You should be hearing your own chanting. You make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a taste for chanting, you know, with other people around you, that's not a problem. We all have our individual natures and, you know, way we like to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always in kirtan anyway. That's not a problem.
But what about manasik chanting? Like,
we're going to look at that next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big number. Samantha's written on it, and Lavala Sakura has written on it. But loud chanting is the most effective form of chanting. You know, like, for the general Kali Yugian mind, monastic chanting is for those who want to look like they're chanting but want to do something else. Well, you know, like, it's just not real. It's not real. You see it. You know, you see people that are beyond their adhika are trying to do that kind of thing. They're sleeping. I spent many Kartiks out at Radhakun. You see it all over the place, sleeping. Green bags in the hand, sleeping. You know, we've got to actually... we have to act according to our adhika. We have to follow the karma. There's a way of doing things. If the mind is caught up in passion and ignorance, how are you going to be able to cope with it? Dealing, you know, like if you have a very rajasic and tamasic mind and you try silent chanting, you're going to fall into tamogen. Tamogen is going to mean sleep. Or just spaced out, completely spaced out. If you're super focused, you know, your relationship with Nam is very, very strong. That's a whole different realm. But we always have to be aware of, you know, we don't want to imitate these great souls. Like one time, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, he was inspired in the middle of the day, you know, middle of June, very hot June, in Vrindavan, to go and visit Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji. When he got to his place, you know, there are no windows and the door was shut. He didn't have a fan. Middle of June, middle of the day. He opened the door when he heard, you know, somebody was at the door. It was Bibi Govinda Maharaj. He opened the door and Bibi Govinda Maharaj just got this huge flush of hot air come out, just about knocked him over. You know, but he was just, you know, happily chanting. So Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji was very happy to see Bibi Govinda Maharaj. He said, come in and chat with me. And, you know, like, Bibi Govinda, I couldn't do that, you know. I need my fan. You know, can't do that. He said, no, you come. He dragged him in. Close the door. And he said, for the first 10-15 minutes, he just felt like he was going to die. He was going to suffocate. It was so hot, and no air, and his mind was giving him hell, you know. And because of the potency of the subtle he was with, after 15 minutes, he just realized he wasn't the body and that Nam was everything, and he just started chanting with him. But, you know, we can't act artificially. It just doesn't work, you know. But we'll look at that next week. It's something I want to have a look at because a lot of devotees fall into that trap. But there's a beautiful article within Brihadbhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, that we'll have a look at. And also a discussion between Haridasa Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Chaitanya Bhagavat that we'll have a look at. And powerful. I'll let them convince you.
Yeah. So whenever I try to chant manasik, it's very difficult. I mean,
yeah, because
it's very,
we don't
very
have
challenging.
That. Yeah, we don't have, you know, when the mind is a clear slate, no problem. Mm. But, you know, like at our level of advancement, forget it. It's just not a given, yeah?
Manasi, sometimes I use earplugs.
Okay.
And then it's not loud chanting, apparently, but I can hear it inside.
That's okay. So the main thing is that you're hearing it. You're consciously hearing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hare.